2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. If you're not signed up with us yet, make sure you go to the website, use the promo code WIN, W-I-N. You can get free access to the site for 7 days. With that, you get access to the MLB VIP tools, the Domination Station, which you can use for limited sports now, but also get a look at how it works for NFL season, the time when it all matters. Once again, DFSArmy.com, use the promo code WIN, W-I-N. I'm your host, Al Walsh. You can find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Co-host Keith Hall is in the building, fresh off of his appearance on Periscope this morning as we got ready for the show. But you find him on Twitter at BoomersDFSDaddy. So, I mean, you know, we already did a whole pre-show. So, I mean, we really don't need to do a whole opening monologue, do we?
You know how many people compare – you know the ratio that people actually popped on the Periscope compared to the actual podcast?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's like 0.1%.
And there were, what, the peak reached, what, 18 on Periscope?
So yeah.
That says a lot for our podcast listeners. But we do appreciate the fives of handfuls of fours of handfuls Periscope listeners that there were out there today.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Guys, I want to add in something, a little bit of business here before we get into, you know, the nonsense of the
business day.
Please, please, please go rate and review us on iTunes or your podcasting format. Please get us more notoriety. The higher up we are in the ratings when you search, the better the tools become. And trust me, I had to – if you knew what the MLB Domination Station costs, you would you would be very, very excited and understand that you need to go rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. So,
please,
we are begging you to go do so. Please go do so and have a good time doing so. And we will, you know, thank you for everything that you have done.
Keith will be your best friend
for at least a day.
Yeah. So. I mean, literally your best friend. He will come to your pizza party and, you know, play with the children and everything. You know what's weird? I went to go check out your name on Twitter because I wanted to have a Twitter follower comparison between us. But did you know that Garrett – and there really isn't. We're, like, dead on even, by the way. But did you know that Garrett Richards, the pitcher for the Angels, is a huge OKC Thunder fan?
I did not.
Yeah.
Does he follow me?
Probably not, but Shane Victorino follows him, but he went to University of Oklahoma. Boomer
I did know
life.
That.
Thunder up, yeah. His Twitter background pick is all OKC Thunder, so.
Oh, boom.
Keith has a new favorite pitcher.
I will never speak ill of him again.
Well done. All right, yeah, we're pretty much going to fly through this one today. It is a Friday, almost, what is it, 10 to 1 here on the East Coast as we record this, so we definitely want to get it out to you guys. A lot of pitching options here. Now, it's not a full 15 game slate. It's only 13 games today on this Friday, so we get to eliminate four teams from the mix. We got the Cubbies early.
Cubs, Reds, Nationals, and Cardinals.
Oh, very nice, very nice. So we get to skip over those guys, but a lot of interesting stuff. Let's get right into it. Let's kick it off with the pitchers today. Now, guys at the top of the list here, we're really Jacob DeGrom going up against the Dodgers today at home at Citi Field. Madison Bumgarner at home against the Diamondbacks. James Paxton on the road today up against the Kansas City Royals. And then I'll include Yu Darvish with the Dodgers here going in that head-to-head matchup there against DeGrom at Citi Field. Definitely going to be a must-watch event. But out of those four guys, who's your number one out of all of them?
I don't know. It's hard for me to go against you, Darvish. Considering what he has the capability of doing. It's also hard for me to pick on the Dodgers, even though DeGrom is, you know, by far and away he's got the highest capability of upside today. It's difficult, man. That top tier, we don't have, you know, a Scherzer or a Kershaw, but, you know, Bum, he just hasn't looked completely right. I know he gets a semi-quasi better matchup. He just hasn't looked right this season so far. And I don't like picking on the Diamondbacks at home. It's just not something I do. Plus, you know.
It's in San Fran.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Our feed pulled it in wrong then.
It's in San Fran.
Oh, nope. It's fixed now. I need to fix that. Our feed pulled it in. Our feed pulled it in backwards.
What would we do with that, each other?
So, probably have a lot less stressful of a life. So yeah, you know, Madison Bumgarner in San Francisco, that gives obviously a lot better of a ballpark boost. I'm interested to see how JD Martinez faces up against him. You know, you've got, like you said, James Paxton going against the Royals. Not a great matchup. The Royals have, you know, been one of the hottest teams in baseball over the last, we can say it since June 1st, basically. They're right up there with the Astros and the Dodgers as far as winning percentage since June 1st. I mean, it's... I think a day like today where you can go and get, you know, as far as just basic point raw projections, Bum and DeGrom are kind of even, and then you've got a couple others that are right there. Yu Darvish is right there. I've got another guy that I'm interested in probably more than that top tier just because of the fact that we have Coors Field on the slate, though. But if I were to go with that top tier, it'd probably be Darvish just because of the fact that he seems to be the cheapest.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to be the best dollar per point option for me.
So I do like Madison Bumgarner because of his history with the Diamondbacks. Sure, you got, you know, some deadly right-handed bats there with Pollock, Goldschmidt, JD Martinez. The number you wanted, the JD Martinez numbers against Bumgarner, 3 of 16, has one homer but only two strikeouts. So, you know, he's not hitting them, but he's not looking like a complete idiot up there. Bumgarner had some huge performances against the D-backs last season. In fact, 31 strikeouts in 22 innings against him. He faced the D-backs on opening day, had 11 strikeouts against them, but did get roughed up a bit at the end of that start. I've seen Bumgarner.
Wasn't that
here.
The game he hit two home runs in?
That was the game.
Okay.
That
he hit two home runs. I was just making sure.
He's looked pretty good here the last two starts. The last one up against the Dodgers in that Sunday night game, I think he was starting to look like his old self. Definitely was missing a lot of spots, but, they turned into routine fly balls. Some of them landed on the warning track. Nothing routine about that, but look, I like him there. And then two starts ago against the Pirates, they only let him go five innings, but he was looking decent enough in that start. So is he fully back? Probably not. But again, we know the Diamondbacks struggle against lefties. We saw Lester do a number on them early, and then, you know, he got caught up later. But I like Bumgarner with his history here going up against the Diamondbacks.
Okay. I mean, I guess I don't mind it. Like I said, it's very, very hard for me because we've seen it. I mean, the value of, you know, unless it's one of these top end guys, the value of taking one of these high priced pitchers isn't as high as it has been in years past because of the way that the offenses are producing. I would much rather spend my money on bats and get, because I think this mid-tier is underpriced today.
I would say, and I also want to preface by saying I too will probably go cheaper pitcher, and I'm just saying out of those pitchers in the top four, that's where I'm leaning the most.
Yeah, I would rather go with Yu Darvish in, I mean, arguably maybe not as good of a ballpark, but still not a bad ballpark. For $1,000 less.
I'm worried about his recent, you know, what's been going on recently with
Darvish. I think honestly it was the trade talk. I honestly think it was the trade talk so much that it was in his head, because he's talked about it. He's never had to deal with that before. I mean, that was one of the things he talked about in his press conference yesterday. He had never had to deal with trade talks before. He had always basically been, you know, kind of in control. You know, he's not one of those guys that ever thought he was going to get dealt. But, you know, when that's what happens when you, you know, bet on yourself and you don't sign a long-term deal. He didn't have 10-5 rights, so he couldn't veto any trade. And I don't know why you would want to veto a trade to the best team in baseball anyways.
Right.
And now we know that that doesn't guarantee, you know, postseason success, but he has had success in the postseason before, which is one of the reasons why the Dodgers went out and got him. It's just, and I like the fact that, you know, this is still on a big stage, but it's not a home big stage. Like, he's getting his first start with the new team out of the way in you know, the biggest market outside of Los Angeles. And so I just think there's a lot of different things playing into that. Plus, you know, he's had really good success against the National League over the course of his career. And there's not a lot of history here from the Mets batters.
Right.
So, and we know when you come over from the eastern part of the world, they pitch backwards. And Yu Darvish legitimately has, you know, 5-6 pitches that he all throws out of the same freaking tunnel. All the same arm slot, all the same release point, and they all have different movement and actions. And it's not like he throws the breaking pitches. It's not like he throws a curveball into lefties and a slider or a cutter into righties. You know, he might do that, but he's not afraid to throw the curveball, you know, in any situation. So he mixes up his pitches pretty well. I really like you. I've always liked you, Darvish, but I really like him in the spot tonight just because of everything I just talked about.
Shown up. All right. Again, I don't mind Paxton either from that top tier pitches that we were talking about, but I think it's pretty obvious you and I both like some of these cheaper options. So I'll let you kick it off and, you know, who you liking there?
I like the mid tier the best probably. And it's going to be a very, very hard situation for me tonight. There's two guys I really, really, really like. And you could probably even add a third in there. But my favorite pitcher of the night's Jake Ferreira.
Ferreira. Jake,
know, as,
State Farm.
Can we just call him Turtle?
I'm sorry. For that name Entourage? Has been taken. That name has been taken.
Yeah, but not from, you know, because the guy that plays Turtle, isn't his real last name Faria?
Ferreira, Jerry Ferreira.
Okay, so it's close.
Almost. It begins with an F.
Yeah.
And ends with an A.
And it has
and there's
the
a couple R's in there.
And it has a J. So we're close. Yeah. Let's just call him All Turtle.
Right. All right.
But yeah, Turtle's a. Oh my gosh. I mean. One of the reasons I hate, like, the advanced pitching stats is it says that he should have a quote-unquote regression. I don't see the regression coming tonight. The Brewers have the highest K percentage against the handedness of pitching that they're facing tonight by a mere 1/100th of a point over the Chicago White Sox,
which we'll talk about here in just a moment, at 26 or 27.96. I mean, he gets a great ballpark. He's pitched phenomenal. You just kind of look at the history. None of these Brewers guys have seen him besides being in Yankee Stadium, which he battled back and he still pitched well. The only thing was is his pitch count was so high up there because of the walks.
I remember watching that game.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees battled. I don't see the Yankees Brewers walking a lot in this game. So
They rarely do.
I wouldn't be surprised if Turtle has another good game tonight.
Yes, Turtle. The thing with him, like, his strikeout numbers are never really that big. But, again, the Brewers can probably help him out with that. You're looking at a guy that's, you know, typically in that, when we talk about FanDuel points, he's probably in the mid-30s. But, you know, I think now the teams have seen more tape on him, that's why he's there. I mean, you know, you looked at his second and third career MLB starts, 8 strikeouts against the Blue Jays, 9 strikeouts against the Tigers, both of those on the road. And then he did have 8 strikeouts in that game, again, like you mentioned, against the Yankees, but the 5 walks and, you know, just all the foul tips and everything just didn't allow him to get to a point where we needed him to be. But I think there's so many factors, you know, game loggers will check this out and be like, that's good. It's not that great. But if you remember Faria from the beginning of the season, man, this guy was just an absolute stud. You hope that he can find his way again with that. And, you know, I think that this is it's very close to being the top play for me. But, again, let's just segue right into it because I know that you're going to talk about E-Rod again as the, you know, if not the top play, then the second one, correct?
Yeah, he was the second guy I was talking about.
Great, great, grand, wonderful. So, the thing with him, he's actually got reverse splits. And, you know, again, this White Sox lineup just is not good nowadays. It's not even reputable. It's nothing. It's not quality. So, again, you're going to probably get a lot of White Sox righties going up against E-Rod tonight, and that's actually not a good thing for opposing teams. Lefties are hitting close to or over 100 points better from the left side of the plate, but it's just over 100 points, 219 from the right, 321 from the left side this season. But again, Diamond, I have a feeling that we're just going to be picking on the White Sox until the final day of the season.
Yeah, I mean they're going to be one of the chalkier offenses to kind of pick on with pitchers, especially higher quality pitchers with good K upside. The issue I have with E-Rod is the walks. If he walks 4 or more guys, he usually very rarely is going to pitch into the 6th inning. The one exception was Baltimore, but they helped him out by, you know, striking out 7 times and he got the win. I think he was, you know, going deeper into that game no matter what. I think it was actually a bullpen situation at the time, if I can remember correctly. But, you know, he's had at least 3 walks in 1, 2, 3 of the last 5 starts. The strikeout numbers are going to be right there around 7 or so. And he's got a higher whip than what I normally would. I definitely wouldn't use him on DraftKings just because of that, because you get docked for those. But on FanDuel, where you don't get docked for, you know, walks or hits unless they score, then that's why I don't mind him quite as much. Not that the White Sox are good, but, you know, this is baseball and, you know, things do happen.
They do. Both of those guys looking pretty good. There are a couple other options we'd definitely like to look at. Brad Peacock is coming back into the starting rotation. His last 2 starts were out of the bullpen. So game loggers, again, will probably have – or game log watchers will probably have a skewed view of what actually happened, you know, if they're just not looking at it carefully. Well, his points did go down the last 2 games, but, I mean, this is a guy that I didn't believe in pretty much all season. But, again, I don't want – what's up?
I said you're welcome.
Yeah. I don't mind going back to him here because I do have a feeling – people probably aren't going to go this way against the Blue Jays team that, you know, they had some good offensive outings over the last week. But again, I do think
Josh Donaldson had a good offensive
performance over the last week.
Justin Smoak, Russell Martin. Look, a lot of these guys have been hitting. Just
those
don't
are the only.
Me when I'm talking,
well,
give,
what I'm saying is don't
for the first time this season.
What I'm saying is don't confuse, you know, three hot hitters carrying this offense as a team that's been hitting the ball well. I mean, you basically have a free out right now in Bautista. And the rest of this lineup, other than those three guys and, you know, Kendrys Morales versus a righty is, you know, pretty much crap.
Yeah. Anywho, before, you know, Peacock went back or went into the bullpen, he did have at least 39 FanDuel points in 9 of his 10 starts. So, again, against these the Blue Jays where, again, people might have just forgotten all about Brad Peacock. I kind of like him in this spot tonight.
Yeah, I do too. And for a lot of the reasons that you just said, and I can add another one in there, it has nothing to do with his lack of effectiveness out of the starting rotation. You know, Keuchel came back, McHugh came back. You know, so they were – this is a young guy that they kind of want to limit his innings a little bit. It's definitely one of those things that you have to really kind of take into consideration. And it's not like he was coming in as a situational guy, you know, pitching an inning in mop-up duty. He still threw three. He still threw four innings. And was able to kind of go. You know, I everything that you said, I completely 100% agree with. The one problem I have, is I don't know whether or not to believe in this Houston offense at home yet. We've seen a couple good performances, but they just got swept basically by the Rays.
Not swept, but
or they, sorry, 3 out of 4.
They took the series.
Yeah.
The Rays took the series. That's
what I'm saying.
Okay.
This is not a high run producing team at home, especially missing Springer and Correa. So I think the win is a little bit in question. Not, you know, much, but a little bit.
I see what you're saying, but again, the guy going for the Blue Jays tonight, that is, you know, that's a decidedly huge advantage that Peacock has against who's it going? Cesar Valdez today.
I agree. I'm just saying if there is one knock on Peacock tonight.
All right. I mean, the Astros have been so good. It's tough to say, you know, they've been like downright putrid at home, but I get what you're saying.
Over a run and a half lower run production per game on the road or at home.
I think you're being a little too skeptical. That's all.
No, I'm not. I'm saying the home road splits for this team is real.
Yes.
Now, can they win at home? Yes, absolutely. Can they win at home with Peacock on the hill? Yes, absolutely. I'm just saying if there's one knock, that would be the, and I'm nitpicking, that would be the one knock I have is, and it has nothing to do with Peacock. It has everything to do with, are they going to be able to score enough? And I think they can. It's just, you know.
I think they'll be fine.
We thought they would be fine against the Rays.
You know, it's interesting. I like here too. I've got the over under at 9, which again we've pretty much dubbed baseball's middle ground here this season so far. So, you know, with two pretty potent offenses by public opinion, kind of interesting not to see this at more of like a 9.5 or a 10 even. So kind of interesting there. I think Peacock is starting to grow on me, probably a little more than possibly like Faria or Erod, but I don't know. We will see where we get to by the end of the day. Lineups matter, people. Lineups matter.
They do.
Another interesting one that we got here is in Baltimore tonight. So Justin Verlander goes for the Tigers. Kevin Gausman goes for the Orioles. This one also at a 9 with two offenses in the public opinion who are probably better than what their numbers show this season. But Baltimore, a -134 favorite. So That's with Kenny Gausman going up against Verlander. A lot of people thinking, all right, well, Verlander probably a better pitcher than Kevin Gausman. Hold the horses, folks. Gausman's been ridiculous lately. 4-0, 3.63 ERA in July. That's over six starts. His last three starts have netted him 49, 52, and 60 FanDuel points in each of those three. The only person in this Tigers to give him Tigers lineup to give him any trouble historically is Ian Kinsler, who's 7-for-12 against him. Homer, I believe, two extra base hits. But other than that, the numbers aren't that great against Gausman. We know the Tigers, they struggle much more against right-handed pitching. It does make me a bit nervous that they're in Camden Yards, but really tough to put down what Gausman's been doing lately.
I see it. I think it's more of a tournament play.
Mm-hmm.
This Tigers offense is what has me a little confused.
Yeah.
Gausman. He was Gausman at the beginning of the year.
Gausman.
Gausman has looked Gausman. His last three starts have looked phenomenal, and I think that's two of those starts were against Texas, one was against Tampa, in Tampa. So I think you have to add in maybe a little bit to that. We know yeah. Texas is not the same offense as they have been in years past, even though they've got the same potential.
He was one out from a complete game in Texas.
I know. And that's it's not bad. I think it's a tournament play.
Sure. Aren't they all on the show, Keith?
Not always. I wouldn't mind going with one of those last three guys that we talked about in cash.
Wow. Wait, so you're right. So with Gausman here, just taking a look at the game log. For his last four like major performances, 50 or more, two against Texas, two against the Rays.
Yep.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I wonder, there's got to be some significant BVP here, either in their favor or the other.
No, it's definitely more in favor of Gausman. Like I said, Ian Kinsler was the only one that has just absolutely owned Gausman.
Yeah, that's what it kind of looks like. So,
Verlander on the opposite side of things now, 2-5, 5.32 ERA on the road this season. That sucks. The thing here with the Orioles, like the numbers are decent, you know, in terms of the BVP history, but he's got a lot of good strikeout numbers against these Orioles. Again, not an offense that I necessarily need to pick on, but just looking at like Chris Davis, 34 plate appearances. He's got 14 strikeouts against Verlander. Adam Jones has 9 strikeouts in 42 plate appearances. I mean, Manny Machado, 7 strikeouts in 23 plate appearances. So all those, and then I'm sorry, Mark Trumbo as well, 6 strikeouts, 15 plate appearances. A lot of good K rates there for Verlander against the main guys of this Orioles lineup. So I don't mind that aspect. It's just, again, he's a pretty heavy underdog against Kevin Gausman.
Is 135 a big underdog, though?
I think for Justin Verlander.
Okay. I got you. Yeah, okay. I got you. I got what you're saying now.
You pick it what I'm putting down, baby.
Not picking it up, but I at least understand it.
Okay. All right, any other pitchers before we move on to some bats tonight?
Can we talk about Kyle Freeland for just a second?
We can talk about Kyle Freeland for just
because
a second.
We've both kind of, at times, we've been on this bandwagon.
Right.
It's interesting because he has the ability to go out there. He's 6,400. He's in Coors. I think he's a great tournament play. He's got one of the best ground ball rates in baseball right now. Yes, he's a rookie. I don't believe he's faced the Phillies this year.
I think he did at CBP.
I don't think so.
I do. I think he only gave up one run. No.
There is no game log on him from that.
Ooh. Who are your lefties going then?
We had
Rusin? Not this year. I don't know. All right, it's not important. Anyway, but yeah, go back to Verlander.
We're done talking about Verlander.
Yeah, not Verlander, Freeland. Jeez, now I'm all in a hibby.
I mean, he's 6,400. We know this Phillies offense can be anemic at times. They can be pesky at times, but they can be anemic at times. It's extremely difficult for me to lean one way or the other. We know the potential that he has, and ballpark aside, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. We saw him come two outs away from a no-hitter in Coors Field, so he's got the upside. I wouldn't pick on him by just blindly. I wouldn't probably stack against him either. I mean, the weather is not extremely hot around the country right now, so it's not like the ball is going to be enormously flying. I think this is a game where you can honestly fade Coors Field if you want to. I mean, the weather's only supposed to be 80 degrees, and it's probably going to get cooler as the sun goes down. The total's only 11.5. I think if you're smart about it, you can fake Coors Field and even possibly throw in Kyle Freeland and load up on other offenses if you want to.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point because obviously, your boy Freeland, you mentioned all the great analytics about him. And again, he's just a nice pitcher to have. Definitely has some win upside tonight for, his price there on FanDuel. Not sure what it is on DraftKings, but you're definitely afforded a lot of different things you could do. And then on the other side of things, Vince Velasquez, we've seen both sides of this guy. He can have some really good outings. He's looked pretty good since coming back off the DL, but but again,
DraftKings is baiting me.
I'm not ready to, anoint this guy as possibly returned. I mean, he's had some very big days on his docket, but not too many this season. So if all goes well for these pitchers, sure, I think it's a great idea to fade them tonight.
I'm going to look
man,
at
is
Vince.
It scary though.
Why is it scary?
Because it's Coors Field. Any night shit could pop off.
Yeah, I mean, but it's I don't know. It's one of those things like I'm not always a big advocate of blindly playing, Coors Field and stuff like that, but I'm not opposed to really, really, really taking a good hard look and trying to find out exactly why this total is only at 11.5 either.
How spoiled we get there. But you know what? I mean, I think the Phillies, they really did not. I believe it was only 4 runs they scored in the series when the Rockies came to town.
Okay, so Velasquez has, is it 2 games? He has 1 game in Coors Field. It was a win. He threw 6 innings. He allowed 2 runs with 8 innings or 8 hits allowed. Had 6 strikeouts and 2 walks. So he allowed 4 base runners that day. No home runs. And I'm assuming this was last year when he came in.
Yikes. So just looking back at that, the series earlier this season, the Phillies, they scored 7. I forgot it was a 4-game series. Scored 7 runs in 4 games against them. And in that series, you had Jeffy Hoffman, Herman Marquez, Tyler Chatwood. And I thought that the last game of the series was one that your boy Freeland pitched, but I guess not. I don't know.
No, I think it was Senzatella.
It was Tyler Anderson. I knew it was lefty. I knew it was a lefty. I'm not stupid. Well, not really. But
was that the one he got thrown out, or was that last year where he got thrown out of that game?
I think it was last year.
Okay.
So yeah, we got those. One interesting note I wanted to drop with another pitcher before we moved along. R.A. Dickey against the Marlins tonight. Marlins only have 7 extra base hits in 120 career plate appearances against current Marlins. And if you take a look at their numbers batter by batter, you'll see that the Marlins, it doesn't look like they're too comfortable against R.A. Dickey. So might not be a bad idea.
GPP, yeah, I think of course. That's a GPP.
Of course.
Kyle Freeland, by the way, is 5,800 on DraftKings.
By the way, the last time I mentioned that stat about a player or a pitcher only allowing a certain number of extra base hits in a lot of at-bats against the Marlins was Gio Gonzalez, and we all remember what he did that night. Just saying, if you like assimilation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all I got for pitching, so we can move along the stacks.
Please do.
The one interesting one that I brought to your attention, and I had a couple of these guys last night, but the Boston Red Sox, 3 of the top 4 hitters in Major League Baseball over the last 7 days are from the Red Sox, and they are not the names that you would think in this one. I know Eduardo Nunez, you got...
I was about to say, I know 2 of them.
All right, well, Eduardo Nunez and who else?
Rafael Devers.
Okay, that's one.
Well, you said, I said I knew 2.
Well, you said you go... I know the other two. And it's
no,
like,
I didn't say the other two. I said I know 2 of them.
You are nuts, dude. The other one is actually Vasquez, Ramirez. The catcher.
Well, that too.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I love the Red Sox tonight. I hate the fact that they are always so dang chalky because they don't deserve to be.
They do carry a lot of weight.
They do. And they don't deserve to be. They're not. They don't have the power upside that.
Well, you know what it is too. They're very affordable. Like Benintendi last night, 3,100. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Devers is 3,000. Uh-huh. Like, and I said it in Slack. I'm like, when is FanDuel going to? And I know we're talking a lot about FanDuel right now, guys. Normally, I do talk a lot of DraftKings, and Al takes care of the FanDuel, but. Like I'm literally for the next week just strictly focusing on FanDuel. So, it's absolutely stupid how cheap they are. Like, I know they jacked up Eduardo Nunez's price a little bit. He was what, 3,500, 3,600 yesterday. He is 39 today. Yes. So he's not free by any stretch of the imagination, but
I for one, FanDuel, thought you were doing a pretty good job with pricing lately. So
I don't.
Okay.
Rafael Devers, thank you. He's 34. You have to make a decision. Rafael Devers should not have been 3,100.
When Didi was going on his tear, they raised it damn near $4,000. I mean, I know I'm just doing one-offs here, but they've been fun.
Like. Chris Young against a lefty should not be 2,400. You want a free square tonight, and I'm sorry, Donuts, or David, for taking this away from you. If you want a free square tonight, there's 2 guys that are just going to pop off the page, and I'm already going to promise you they're probably going to be in the optimal lineups tonight. Hanley Ramirez and Chris Young, both under 3K on FanDuel, going up against a lefty in that stadium.
Yep.
It's stupid. Just write them in.
I don't know. I mean, I do like Chris Young, of course, in that matchup, but I mean, he's been far from automatic against lefties this season. Now the price, that'll give you some cause for forgiveness with him, but
he's got a 3.32 WOBA, which is about league
average.
He's got a 3.32 WOBA, which is about league average, but his ISO versus lefties over the last 30 days, 3.57, dude. So where it hasn't been that way, like, all season, recently it's been a heck of a lot better. I mean, on FanDuel, okay, so let's think about this for a second. And we're talking about, like, stat construction, okay?
All right.
We know Mookie's going to carry some ownership, and this is for tournaments, okay? If we go by... the projected starting lineup that we have currently. on our lineups page, which it's going to be different. I already know it is. But you can get Jackie Bradley Jr. at 2,500.
Who's good against lefties.
Who's good against lefties, although he sucks recently. Right. He grades out the lowest. He's probably going to be in that 9 spot. Sandy Leone is the highest graded projected starter out of that this Red Sox lineup right now.
Sandy!
493 WOBA, 250 ISO, 795 OB ISO over the last 30 days, okay? You can go Chris Young, Rafael Devers, Sandy Leone, and Hanram, and the highest you're paying is Rafael Devers at 3,400.
Yeah, Devers is with the lefty-lefty matchup against Rodon, too. I don't have as big of a problem of it tonight because
he's got a 409 WOBA versus lefties, and the
again, short term though, he did the same thing with Nick Williams, and
right, but you know, the White Sox don't have a lot of lefties in the bullpen, is what I'm
saying. I was getting there. I was gonna say my whole thing was I don't think Rodon is gonna last too long. Like he could still probably get two bats against the bullpen as well. So
yeah, I mean, and this guy, would you be shocked if he goes out and gets two hits versus Rodon?
No,
I mean, they might not be doubles for power or anything, but we haven't been after the first game, the dude's done nothing but pretty much crush.
Funny side note too. Let's see, what do we got? 35 plate appearances. Lefties are hitting .290 against Rodon this season. But again, I don't get as giddy about these lefty-lefty matchups with these younger guys because, again, I know, basically the last couple times that this has come up, it's been with the rookie lefty. And, just in the short sample size.
Not everybody can be Charlie Blackmon.
Yeah. It's just with the small sample size, I'm not as giddy about it. I got to take a little deeper look into it. But if it's a young guy, I don't know. Odds are it's probably
okay,
not going to be.
Okay, so let's take let's take Devers out of it and you throw in Nunez instead. Okay. You're still only paying $500 more for that stack.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
I mean, Xander Bogaerts, 2,900. Jackie Bradley Jr., 2,500. Henry Ramirez, 2,900. Chris Young, 24. Leon, 23. Brock Holt, even. Now I know he sucks versus lefties, but even Brock Holt, 23. Like, the highest guy, the top two guys in the projected starting lineup are the most expensive guy, and they're still affordable at 41 and 39.
Yeah. I'm looking at Rodon's numbers here. He's got some very interesting.
There's got to be some New York versus Boston, like, hatred going on. Yes.
I like the Red Sox. Don't get me wrong. But Rodon here, he's actually had how many starts this season? Jesus, 1, 2, 3, 4. So six starts this season. Three of them, he's had strikeout totals of 9, 11, and 10. The 9 in his last start against the Indians. The start before that, he had 11 against the Cubs, but he did also give up 7 hits, 4 earned runs, and 4 innings. And who's the other one? Against Oakland. So
the Red Sox, though, have one of the lowest K percentages on
the year. I get all that. I'm just saying here, again, if Rodon has a good performance tonight, that's the reasoning, I guess.
Here's the thing with Rodon. His numbers don't look great. Like, he's getting hit hard. The strikeout numbers are phenomenal.
Right.
The problem is the walk numbers are up there as well. He has on paper, a good matchup. From what the production has been over the last 30 days, the Red Sox versus left-handed pitching, only a 310 WOBA, 113 ISO, but they're not striking out. Because of his upside numbers, which is an easy way to say that's what the DFSA grade takes into consideration more, is it's weighted more heavily. Mm-hmm. Carlos Rodon is a top six pitcher tonight. And that's very, very, very difficult to try to sell. And I can see you not, quote unquote, believing it. But make no mistake about it. Rodon has the ability to go out there and shut this lineup down. He also has the ability to go out there and get absolutely completely torched.
Yeah, got me. Okay, the Rockies did have the highest implied run total at 6.5, and the line's open today. Nothing much really has changed from that. They went down one notch there to 6.4, but you got the Pirates today with the biggest increase at the implied run total at 0.4 right now, going up against the Padres. They had a decent day against Travis Wood. Maybe not. I'm thinking about the one against Clayton Richard. He started on Wednesday. That's what I was thinking about. But with Travis Wood here, a lot of these right-handed bats for the Pirates going up against him, I could certainly see a big day. I see what Vegas is talking about here. And look, this has been the milk and cookies, bro. I mean, the biggest increase on the implied run total usually spells good things. So let's try to figure out why.
Yeah, we're going to have to watch it as the day goes on. If this keeps jumping up the way that it's trending right now, then I agree with you. I really, really, really do like this. You know, Andrew McCutchen's got some pretty good history. He's got three home runs. Starlin Marte's got three home runs against him. Both of those guys are over 290 on the ISO versus Travis Wood.
And Starlin Marte, by the way, tonight, only 3,000 on FanDuel.
Yeah, you add in Jordy Mercer. He's got two home runs and 19 at-bats against him. You add in Josh Harrison. This is just those four right there, if they're in the lineup, that is a phenomenal stack. And the guy that's going to cost you the most is going to be Andrew McCutchen at 4K. I'll have to look into his numbers, but you could even probably throw in Josh Bell in there. Maybe Jose. I mean, these guys, this team is finally starting to hit left-handed pitching the way that we thought they were going to at the beginning of the season. And this is without Gregory Polanco in the lineup.
Yeah.
Now I know Polanco's a lefty, but he's usually not one of those guys that, you know, is hampered too much by the lefty righty splits. He hits righties better, but he still hits lefties pretty decently. I don't see a way that Travis Wood gets through, you know, five innings tonight without getting absolutely just hammered.
And that last outing, I completely had the opposite end of the spectrum there, but Travis Wood, his last start was against the Pirates, his first with the Padres, but he goes six innings, only allows two hits, one walk, strikeout seven, allows only two earned runs, gets the win, gets the quality start, good enough for 43 FanDuel points. But again, we've talked about this numerous times, about a pitcher seeing an offense for the second time in a week. You know, they're fresh in the hitters' minds, and believe me, Wood has just not been good prior to that outing. You know, so kind of we could see that as a jack-in-the-box performance for him. But again, these Pirates, I like them a lot more.
Yes, I really do. You could probably add it to ballpark a little bit. He was fired up, you know, whatever you want to do. For some reason, I thought that was the game where McCutchen started to go off and he hit three home runs.
Was the Sunday game against Clayton Richard. That's initially okay. What I was thinking of. Okay. Just, you know, the lefty-lefty, but with both of those lefties from the Padres.
Gotcha.
All right. The other two implied run totals that jumped up to, let's see, there were 0.3 movements, so I'll just talk about these two. But the Seattle Mariners at the Kansas City Royals. So the Royals are throwing out Jason Hamill, who I know you're probably more of an apologist/fan for than most others. And then the Arizona Diamondbacks also jumped up 0.3. But their implied open at 3.3 only went to that 3.6. So that's the matchup there against Madison Bumgarner tonight. Either of those intrigue you? Anything that we should be looking at in those matchups?
It's a wait and see with me. This Kansas City ballpark, it's not hot. So this Kansas City ballpark should play a lot bigger than what it has over the last, 3 weeks, month or so. Jason Hamill's been, you know, not bad, but not great. He'll mix in a really good start, like his last one at Boston, about once every five or six starts. But he's not a guy I generally pick on because he doesn't, you know, go out and get absolutely just hammered. I mean, he's quality starts 3 out of the last 5. He had that string earlier in the season, 4 straight quality starts in a row. I mean, the guy goes out and he battles, he pitches. He never seems to get blown up. He never seems, every once in a while he might, but he never seems to be something that I have to have, and he never seems to be something I have to pick on. So I just, you know, I see a 4-3 game, maybe a run coming off the bullpen, maybe 2. I mean, just not something I tend to want to pick on. So maybe a one-off, a mini stack of a Cruz Seager, but not something I'm going to, you know, be running to go roster.
Just looking at the BVP here, Cano, good for the Mariners. I'll get into that a little more during the second base. Segura, funny. Bad. I'll just say it now since we won't bring him up in shortstops, but 3-for-20, 4 strikeouts against Hamill. So keep that in mind. The other one with the Diamondbacks, I mean, I certainly, you know, it's a couple one-offs. Goldie was hot yesterday. JD even got himself involved in the mix. Such a deadly offense there for the Diamondbacks. You know, obviously the implied run total at open, a 3.3, is not sexy in the least bit, but I don't know, the fact that it's moving up kind of says something. Maybe not enough. I didn't mean for that to say, it kind of says something. I kind of said that definitively, yet I am questioning it.
I don't know. I'm indifferent about it.
All right. Sounds good to me. Any other stacks that catch the eye even more?
Cleveland
he likes.
Yes.
Who's up for the Yanks tonight?
For the Yanks?
They're not playing the Yanks anymore?
Jaime Garcia.
Oh, yeah, duh. Losing my mind. I'm trying to look at a bunch of different things here.
Yeah, I mean, they just – Francisco Lindor, Jose Ramirez, Edwin, Michael Brantley, Austin Jackson, Bradley Zimmer. I mean, just
– As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the Yankees do have the largest decrease of implied run total currently today at 140 Eastern. So keep that in. Yes. Okay, just looking at some bad matchups here, I guess, that we can target. I mean, Houston, who I think they're going – I know they're at home, which I know you don't like, but they are going up against a terrible pitcher there for the Blue Jays. Don't mind that one at all. Obviously, the Rockies, who we mentioned before. I know I like both pitchers in that Tigers-Baltimore game, but again, either offense could definitely pop off. Hopefully, you know, in that one, what would be ideal is if both pitchers pitched 3 innings and they're like, okay, we're done. Like, see ya. And then they just brought the bullpens in and had fun.
Yeah, I mean, there was a article that I put out in the Slack chat the other day that MLB.com had put out. The two best teams in baseball have reconditioned their thinking on how they use their starting pitchers and their bullpen, and doing it in a way that makes a lot of analytical sense. But you can only do it if you've built bullpen depth, which these guys have, which means that other teams that don't have the bullpen depth tend to usually get rocked by them. If Cesar Hernandez makes it into the 5th inning, then your Houston stack went terribly wrong. Because, let's see, the worst graded player out of this this Houston stack is the Derek Fisher guy.
Derek. I like him. All right. Let's see. Houston. Like, there was one. Oh, Tampa Bay. Do we have any information here on Mr. Brandon Woodruff making his MLB debut today?
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah.
I hate saying that because I hate when other pods do that. he sucks.
He's in the major leagues. He's no good.
He gets a huge, huge ballpark adjustment. And what I mean by that is this, is the Milwaukee Brewers, their AAA team just happens to be the Colorado Springs Sky Sox. which is at the same elevation, if not a little bit higher, than Coors Field, which happens to also not have the ability of having a humidor, if I remember correctly, which means the ball flies. The Pacific Coast League is probably the highest offensive rated league out of all of professional baseball, and it's not even close. So, yeah, he gets a major ballpark advantage.
Mage, bruh.
The problem I have is the 1.35 whip.
Okay.
And in 72 innings, he's allowed 36 earned runs. He does have a 22.4% strikeout ratio, but the strike zone's a little bit wider, and hitters are a little less disciplined in the minors than they are in the majors. So, I don't mind going to the Rays here. Corey Dickerson, Lucas Duda, Lomo, Souza. Hell, you can even go with a Brad Miller in there. I don't know if they're going to blow him up, but if they get to the negative part of this Milwaukee bullpen, it's definitely going to be a sneaky stack tonight.
I don't know how I didn't mention this one first, but we've got the Texas Rangers at the Minnesota Twins. Martin Perez going for the Texas Rangers, and then Bartolo Colon going for Minnesota Twins. Completely forgot that game was even on the slate. Go me. But, we got a total of 10.5 in this one. Both guys capable of getting lit on fire very early. Both pitchers have an ERA above 5, getting rocked. So, yeah, don't know why that wasn't mentioned first.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop. Yes. Okay, good. All right, positional player. Are we all done with stacks?
Yes.
Good, great, grand, wonderful. All right, let's go to positions. Who we like?
Oh, catcher sucks tonight. When Nick Hundley is your highest graded catcher tonight.
Okay.
I do like Sandy Leon. Right. He's cheap, 2,300.
And we'll probably get him since Vasquez caught. Did he catch us?
He caught the last two nights, I thought.
Put him back in. He's hot.
JT Realmuto, maybe. Catcher just kind of sucks tonight.
All right. Let me jump in here. James McCann going up against the O's tonight. 10 for 25. Doesn't matter. 10 for 25 over the last six games. One of the better hitters amongst catchers over the last week. So that's not a bad one.
He didn't come up is because he's not in a projected starting lineup, so he doesn't even cross my radar.
All right. Well, I got a radar over here too, bro. Don't worry. I also like Cameron Ruff tonight. He's only 3 grand at Coors Field. I know the matchup with Freeland isn't that great, but he had a nice close off to July, so I'm interested to see what he can do here at a pretty cheap price for Coors.
Cameron Rupp?
Yep.
God, if he's in that lineup. His numbers over the last 30 days are horrible, and he grades out really, really bad. But you've got to – I mean, you're right. Being 3,000 in Coors with double-dong potential, I mean, I don't mind it as a one-off if you're trying to get as much out of Coors as possible, hoping that it goes off.
I didn't say, the whole month of July was good, but he ended it on a good note. Well aware that we're in August now. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying his last 30 days over the last 30 days versus lefties, it's not good. Geez.
All right. I don't have a whole bunch here. What else do you like? Definitely not Jonathan Lucroy.
I mean, if you want to take a chance on Yasmani Grandal. Going up against DeGrom. He's got the ability to – he's going to be low-owned, and he's got the ability to kind of go bananas. Francisco Cervelli, 2,400 against Travis Wood. He is, as far as raw points, he's the highest rated or highest projected catcher on the main slate. So I wouldn't mind looking there either.
All right. I know Von Nova doesn't – I believe he's only given up three homers at home this season there at PNC Park, but Hector Sanchez, incredibly cheap, 4,200 against Nova. He's had some rough spots this moment. It's been better at a home for him, but, you know, 2,200 is pretty damn cheap. So.
Yeah, that's really, really cheap.
All right. And don't forget, well, actually forget him because he's not even on the slate. I was just going to say, Wilson Contreras, muy caliente.
Always.
All right. First base.
It's kind of hard to look past a guy like Paul Goldschmidt, who's got two home runs against Madison Bumgarner. He's going to be low owned, and he seems to let's say, be clicking on all cylinders. It's very rare that a guy's ownership percentage the day after he hits, he goes triple dong is going to go down, but that's exactly what's going to happen tonight. I like Joey Gallo versus Bartolo Colon.
Okay.
We've already mentioned Hanley Ramirez. And then, you know, Justin Smoke, I guess, has been hitting the ball pretty well. Your boy, yep. Tommy Joseph is 3,900. I don't know. There's just not a lot to love. Maybe Yonder Alonso going against Scribner at 3,100. And Edwin versus Jaime Garcia or Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman moved back to first base.
Did he?
Are you kidding me? What the heck? Why would...
That's unfortunate. Very unfortunate. Let's see. Yeah, I had Goldschmidt, three homers yesterday. Pretty good history against Bumgarner.
Because they put Matt Adams in the outfield.
Gotcha. Hanley Ramirez, like you mentioned, very cheap. Batting cleanup. Joey Gallo, who you mentioned, 4-for-9, four homers, eight RBIs over the last three games. Don't mind that. Lucas Duda has the second highest OPS of all first basemen over the last 7 days. Right behind him, Justin Smoke, who you mentioned. And then I don't mind both first base options from the Angels, who have actually really been hitting well here lately, mainly because they've played the Blue Jays and the Phillies over the last couple games. But Albert Pujols, CJ Cron, very, very affordable there on FanDuel. Pretty good matchup there against Tyrell Cotton as well, so... I'm in.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Why did I call him Tyrell? Jarrell.
I don't know.
Thanks for correcting me, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, you know what? I got to let you...
Going to make me look like an idiot going on the rest of the show and not even correct myself. Appreciate it.
I got to let you sink that ship on your own.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. All right. Second base?
Jose Ramirez is 3,900. Alan Hansen's interesting. If he gets the start versus Eduardo Rodriguez, he's 2,100. Last 30 days, 584 WOBA, 571 ISO. Grades out really, really high, really well. Carlos Asuaje versus Ivan Nova, I'm probably going to stay away from. He hasn't been as productive as he normally has. Rogie Odor versus Bartolo Colon. He's going to be kind of high up there in ownership percentages.
Four homers, nine RBIs over the last five games.
Yep. And I know he's kind of, let us say, screwed us in the past, but Brian Dozier.
Ah, yes. Lefty, home. Yes. Excellent combination to stir it up. Eduardo Nunez, massive numbers. 13 for 27, six extra base hits, four homers, and 10 RBIs over the last six games. Get busy, kid. He's in a good spot. Your boy LeMahieu's 11 for 21 with five extra base hits and six runs over the last five games. Don't mind that. Mentioned earlier, Ian Kinsler's got that sick BVP against Gausman, 7 for 12, three extra base hits with a homer. Robinson Cano, 13 for 36 versus Jason Hamill, lifetime with four extra base hits and two homers. And I thought I mentioned it earlier, but one of our subscribers. Raw 30281 mentioned Ozzy Albies. Minimum priced today on FanDuel, one of the better prospects there in the Brave system. Raw claims that he has power from both sides. So I'm interested to check this guy out.
Yeah, but I'm gonna wait and see approach with Mr. Ozzy.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
It's
I'm gonna check out some YouTube highlights. And what I like on basketball, I hate because when I talk basketball with like people that about players that don't really aren't really well known around the league, and I'll talk about them with my friends, and they'll be like, "Oh man, you just watch the YouTube clips." I'm like, "Yeah, I do," but there's a site out there where they give you the weaknesses of the guy as well. I really like watching those, but I haven't seen any of those for baseball yet. So all you scouts, chop chop, let's get on that. All right.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Gotta be real with it. Third base tonight. You just mentioned Brian Dozier. I like him as well, but his tag team hero Miguel Sano. Going to be a great matchup here against Martin Perez. I like him the most out of pretty much, I don't want to say every player today, but he's up there, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that, but I have a question for you.
Probably going to have an answer. Let's hear it.
Are the Rockies at home?
It is.
Is Nolan Arenado going to be in the lineup?
I would hope not.
I forgot they're playing the Phillies, so yeah. I didn't expect that answer. Yeah, Nolan.
Of course.
Nolan.
I love Peacock tonight, but what Josh Donaldson's doing lately is insane. So these are over the last three games, four extra base hits, three homers, five RBIs, five runs, five walks. All the numbers looking fantastic there. Now, granted, all that against the Chicago White Sox, but still. When he's on a roll, there's nobody better in the majors.
Yeah, he's pretty good at hitting the ball very hard and very far.
Dynamite dropping money.
Like you said, Evan Longoria is pretty good right now. Adrian Beltre, I keep going back to this, but the Rangers have actually been hitting the ball very well lately. Alex
BP.
Bregman.
Phenom's BP for Beltre as well.
Yes, Alex Bregman is actually the highest-rated third baseman on the main slate currently. It's 451 WOBA, 377 ISO versus right-handed pitching over the last 30 days. He's only 3,400 on FanDuel. I wouldn't mind going there. Third base, I think, is where you can steal one. You could even go to Matt Chapman versus Scribner. He's 2,800. Still has over 300 ISO. You could go to Travis Shaw, who's having a phenomenal year and got the ability to put the ball out of any ballpark.
I like him very much.
So, and let's not forget Jed Jerko going. Oh, wait, that's the afternoon. Sorry.
Jed Jerkstar. Strobel Cabrera, surprisingly, has a good history against Yu Darvish, 5-13, three extra base hits, one of those being a homer. Caleb Coward. Going up against the A's tonight. He's got five double-digit fantasy point games over his last six. And then I got Michael Franco pretty cheap there on FanDuel as well, going up against the lefty.
Yeah, the Phillies' prices on FanDuel is an absolute joke.
Yeah. But, hey, let's take advantage. Again, it could also be saying something for Kyle Freeland as well. Just saying. Yeah, other than that, those are all the third basemen I've gotten in my mind today.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, shortstops.
I've got okay, so here's the situation I have with shortstops tonight. You've got every price point that's pretty much hit. The problem I have is that I've got, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that really, really, really have caught my eye.
Okay.
And then you have the ability to go get Corey Seager at 3,400. But I've got him everywhere from 4,200 all the way down to 3,000. Or sorry, 30, 2,800, sorry.
Yeah.
It's weird because I know where my head is saying, no, you go run here and you run as fast as you possibly can. And then I know who my backup would be. Right. And that would be Francisco Lindor and Marwin Gonzalez. Both of them have over a 260 ISO and a 420 WOBA versus the handedness over the last 30 days. Francisco Lindor is a top rated going against Jaime Garcia, but he's 4,200. I don't know if I have to go there tonight unless I'm building a Cleveland stack, which I very well could be. But the problem I have is nobody's going to play Andrelton Simmons, and nobody's going to play Didi Gregorius.
Is Didi? Yeah, both great options. Is that where
and
your
then
discussion
you,
was
in? Well, you've got Elvis Andrews, but he's 3,900, and I'm wondering how many people are going to play him. Because conventional logic says if I'm paying 39 for Elvis Andrews, why am I not going to find the extra 300 to go get Lindor, right? Mm-hmm. But then you, if you want to like, quote, and these are on the higher ends. If you want to like, I guess semi-quasi punt the position, Johan Camargo is absolutely murdering the baseball right now.
I dig him.
And he's 2,800. I'm at a loss on what I'm going to do at shortstop. But those are the guys that I'm looking at. And it's really going to be kind of dependent on where I go with everything else in my lineup. And I don't normally say that about shortstop. Normally, I think like one of the easiest ways to do it is just to, you know, punt, chalk, go.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I know Camargo is good. He's better against left-handed pitching. At one point, he was hitting close to 500 against lefties. But in terms of extra base hits, he's only got one in the last five games. But it was a home run, getting on base, which is pretty good. Don't mind that.
And then if you really want to,
he's going up against Adam Conley. So, and again, Conley's got the negative splits there at home. So I'm sorry. Conley's on the road tonight. What am I talking about?
And then if you really want to play, you can go all the way down to Jordy Mercer.
Yes, that he's already on the list. I was adding Camargo, but yeah, Mercer with pretty good BVP against Wood. Five extra base hits, two homers in 22 plate appearances versus Wood.
Yeah, I mean,
I like the Andrelton Simmons play you talked about. At least 9 FanDuel points in every game. Except one since July 22nd. He's been on an absolute tear. Even Adam Rosales, I'll keep going to that well. Decent BVP against Bumgarner. Hasn't looked totally foolish, but, you know, I've seen better. I mean, Xander Bogaerts, very cheap. You know, pretty done well in the short term against Rodon. Don't mind that. But, yeah, Corey Seager's going to be a tough guy to come off. But you are absolutely 100% correct. Plenty of other options to get to tonight. We've got to them all.
It's all going to be how you decide you want to build your roster. right now, I've got Jordy Mercer in there. I hope he's around that 7-8 spot to where he's not going to be so chalky that, you know, he starts to garner a lot of ownership.
Sure.
But, you know, it's still going to be one of those things like, I'm going to have to force myself to really take a stand at this position today, because I can use that 2,300 and go build a Rockies stack with Cargo, Blackman, Nolan, and Lucroy. I can get Hanley Ramirez and Chris Young in my lineup for my Boston exposure, and then I can play around with my pitcher and second baseman. And that's my default right now. Now I could take out, you know, Nolan and go down. I could take out Charlie and go down. I could take out, you know, there's a lot of different options. But I mean, there's a lot of ways you can build this, but I think Jordy Mercer is my favorite right now at the position just because of the BVP, of the history versus Travis Wood, the fact that this lineup should put out some runs, the fact that he's only 2,300. But if I've got extra money, then I don't mind going up to a guy like Carmargo at 2,800. If I've got more extra money, I don't mind going up to a Marwin Gonzalez or a Didi Gregorius. And if I've got enough money, I can go up to Andrelton Simmons and Lindor. But I don't. I think right now it's Jordy Mercer, and I'm taking the stand there, and it very well could change. But I love the shortstop position. I'm just so confused by it tonight.
Yeah, let us not forget the one they call Marcus Semien, no relation to Trevor. But rough last three games, two of those being in San Francisco, so I won't totally crucify the game. But you know, prior to that, Semien's been on a pretty nice roll here since getting back with the A's. So you know, again, guy I don't mind. Not really too sure about the guy that the Angels are throwing tonight, but I will certainly take a look. Don't you worry.
All right, let's go to outfielders.
Let's do it. For me, I'm fully aware that there are folks playing baseball in Coors Field tonight, but there is no hotter than one Mike Trout. 10 for 22, last six games, two homers. Check it out, Keith. Seven RBIs, seven runs, six walks, three stolen bases.
Just I don't need to check it out. I've played him every single day for the last week.
just checking off every single area of the stat sheet. Guy is on a roll. I know I said when Josh Donaldson is on a roll, there are no better. I forgot Mike Trout existed for 1 second. But, yeah, he's been on a total roll. And, again, you're paying down to that 8,000 range tonight to you know, with your pitching tonight. Mike Trout will be an easy fit into your lineup.
Yeah, it's one of those things you kind of can't look over. I think that 5,000 is too cheap. He hasn't garnered a lot of ownership percentages. Now you could play the pay up to be contrarian and fade Charlie Blackmon and go to him. But you could also go down lower and go down to, you know, Andrew McCutchen. We've talked about him. I mean, some other guys kind of pop off at the top of this list. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton, you know, $5,000 cheaper. He doesn't have the stolen base upside, obviously, but he still has double long potential. Let's not forget Yasiel Puig versus a righty. Under 3,000. Going to be hitting that 8 spot. Yasiel Puig might not get above 2% owned tonight and has the ability, especially against that Mets bullpen, has the ability to just – if DeGrom is any sort of shaky tonight or if he leaves a pitch over the middle, I would be very, very surprised if Yasiel Puig does not have a good game tonight.
Interesting.
Just because I don't think DeGrom's going to pitch more than seven innings.
Okay. I'm going to try to take it a little lower. I like the McCutchen, Marte, just before we move down. But, again, Derek Fisher going for the Astros tonight should be high up in that order, hitting, you know, 333.
He's been leading off.
Okay. Hitting 333 over the last seven games, three extra base hits in that span, not bad. Here's a guy who you liked earlier in the season, and I chastise you for it, but I don't mind him in the spot since probably nobody in their right mind will be there. But Byron Buxton, only 2,400 on FanDuel, matchup against Perez, a good one. Could do some nice things on the base pass. But, you know, just getting on base looks like it could be a certainty for Buxton tonight. And when he's on there, he can certainly do some things. So I don't mind that.
Yeah,
and then
64 wOBA over the last 30 days versus left-handed pitching. He's figuring it out, but he's still very streaky.
Well, I thought he just recently came off the DL.
Yeah.
couple of these games, you know, since being back, not terrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Okay. And then I also too, like, again, you're trying to find some salary relief. All the outfielders from the Mariners tonight, whether we're going to go Jared Dyson, Ben Gamel, Leonis Martin, you know, whoever's going to be out there, of course, Nelly Cruz, you know, you can find him at the outfield designation, but again, being the DH, I like all those guys against Hamlin tonight.
Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of upside there, quote unquote, but you know, there is the ability to, there is the ability to at least pay off your salary. I think they're more cash game options than tournament. Just because, like I said, I think there's a lot of other ways I can attack. You know, Adubel Herrera is 3,500 in Coors Field. You know, Gerardo Parra is 3,700. Chris Young is 2,400.
I was saving that one for you.
Okay. Jose Ozuna, going up against Travis Wood, probably going to hit in that sixth spot going up against the lefty. Now he might only get three at bats because he might get pinch hit four later on in the game if if the Padres don't throw out a lefty out of their bullpen, which I think they traded him all the way, so I don't know if they have any more. So I think it's definitely something to look at. But he could, you know, at 2,500, he's not going to break you if he gets three at bats, as long as he produces in those three at bats. So, one of your boys, Norichika Aoki.
Yeah.
214 ISO, 362 Wobo versus right-handed pitching over the last 30 days. Obviously, he's going to get a lot of that Blue Jays bullpen we're projecting. So, that's a good way to go. Steven Souza. He's been absolutely rocketing the ball lately. But yeah, that's, I mean, there's a lot of options. I mean, when I go down to number 61 on the list or 60 on the list and it's Aaron Judge.
Not bad.
Think about that, folks. Yeah. Our DFSA grades. Now this has the day games in there too, but our DFSA grades have number 60 on the list as Aaron Judge.
Hey, now, do you know who leads the majors in hits on Fridays? He's an outfielder.
You're going to tell me.
Andrew McCutchen.
Ah, he's locked.
533 on base percentage, 424 batting average on Fridays this season. So, hey, Trout and McCutchen? Oh, man. Could be doing something here. Can't fit that. Let's see. Byron Buxton, you got to come out. That's certainly doable. Come on, man. Shit. This is going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. I can feel it. All right. Any other ones? Any final thoughts before we get the hell up on out of here?
Nope. I think we're good.
All right. Sounds wonderful. Once again, you like what you heard and you're still not convinced, try DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code WIN, W-I-N. You can get 7 free days to check on everything that we got going on here. You get access to the Slack chat channel, the Domination Station, the MLB VIP tools, all of the good things that are helping all of our guests win tons of money. So definitely check it out. Once again, DFSArmy.com, promo code WIN. For me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.